And now I open the session for questions.
So for you may ask your questions by sending it to me anonymously via the chat, or you may raise your hand and ask your own questions directly. And then we haven't received any questions yet. There's a first hand raised.
Yeah.
Is that me? Please unmute yourself.
Yes, thank you. Bhantena, you described how we have to do these daily activities and observe them and then go into deeper levels.
Yeah.
Now, can we as lay people going to work and can we life and all, can we go into all those depths unlike in the monastery where people are totally dedicated to those duties, can we actually do those finer details, you know, going into the details, becoming totally peaceful? Is that possible?
No, I think typical daily activities, you can at least be mindful that I am now writing a letter, I am now, say, typing on a computer, I am talking with someone. To such extent, you can be mindful. But later, once you come back home, when you are doing the formal practice, you can go deeper. Actually, this is a kind of a sort of practical aspect you have to see. I mean, say, for example, while talking, if you are trying to too much go deeper, then you can actually, you may lose that macro aspect, the big picture, you may lost. So therefore, I mean, you have to maintain some sort of a balance, especially when you are dealing with the daily activities. But when you do the formal practice, there you can, because you have by doing that, you are maintaining the continuous mindfulness anyway. But only problem is that you don't have deep, clear comprehension. But continuous mindfulness was there. But now when you come back home and involved with the formal practice, there you can improve clear comprehension as well. You can drill down and understand the mind aspects as well.
So that is, Bhante, that is when we sit down to meditate, right?
Yeah.
That's the time that we are doing the formal practice.
Yes.
And then we can observe the finer breaking up or whatever, you know, to break it up into finer
yes.
points.
Right? Yes, yes.
So it is not that simple, no, Bhante?
Yes. But that's why I mean we need fair amount of practice in order to recognize that deep sort of subtle aspects. So we may start with the surface level simply by establishing mindfulness in the present moment. And once that is successful, then we should clearly know what are the minor aspects available in this phenomena. Say, for example, if I take breathing, say, for example. Now, first of all, say you need to be aware of, okay, this body is now breathing in, now breathing out. Now breathing in, breathing out. So likewise, when you do it, say 15 minutes, then now mind is fairly established in the breathing. And once it is successful, now you have to further refine your attention and needs to understand, okay, is the breathing in happens from left nostril or right nostril? Is the breathing out happens using left nostril or out nostril? Is breathing in long or short? Is breathing out long or short? Or is breathing in cool or warm? So likewise, we are now sort of trying to recognize fine aspects of breathing. So likewise, we need to sort of incorporate this investigative attitude with some curiosity. Now you are investigating the present moment phenomenon. So that we need to purposely do. And again, we need to maintain proper balance. I mean, if you do too strictly, then again, mind can become restless. And if you are not doing it, you are not allowing the wisdom to grow. So likewise, you have to balance the faculties so that you can recognize finer aspects available in that phenomena and again maintaining the necessary amount of effort, and you are able to understand those details.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Then now when I meditate, I go into very peaceful states, and I think that's what you're talking about. When we are developing these things in daily activities, we go into a peaceful state, you say, which we are trying to maintain all the time, which we can't, of course, in daily life, because we are in the lay life and we have various other activities coming up to stir us up.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly in the meditative activities, I'm getting better and better, I think, and I get into very peaceful states, which I find very, very, you know, very, what should I say, you know, as if I'm sometimes watching, like the way you said.
Yes.
But now it is as if we have to now try to incorporate this more and more into daily life and could try to continue that momentum. Isn't
exactly.
That right?
That's right. That's correct. So, as you said, you might not be able to maintain such the very precise clarity as you have in your formal practice. But at least you are not lost in the present moment. So, that is the important thing. Say, we are typically, while you are engaged with some activity, our mind is with some other place or some with someone else. But rather, our mind, the mental process also has to be well synchronized with the present activity. So that is, at least that should be, at least that we should try.
Yes. But we can do, as you say, if we are all the time on the job.
Yes, definitely. Say while you are driving. So you should be aware of that you are driving, and you should know that there are vehicles in the front and you have to look at the side mirrors and all these things. And so that indicates that the present moment activity and your mind is well synchronized.
And that is a part of the training that you always talk about, this training, no, Bhante?
Yes.
The previous one, you were talking about the training.
Yes.
So now we are... The majority of these people who are listening to you, we are all on this training field.
That's right.
We won't hear no bumping.
Definitely. That's right. I mean, because otherwise, our mind habitually does not like it. Our mind habitually like to stay in the past and think about various things happened and daydream about the future and fantasizing. So that is what mind typically may like. So you have to restrain the mind, have to train the mind. Otherwise, it may not happen. Yes. And on the other hand, I like to add another word. Now, you have mentioned that you are experiencing very sort of beautiful or blissful states while in meditation.
Yes.
Now, thing is, I mean, that those are also useful, but in the Vipassana practice, and that continuous observation, close examination is important. At that time, at the first stages, you might not feel it is comfortable. You might not feel it is blissful as before, because you have something to do. But later, as wisdom is growing, there you may find a happiness.
Yes, Bhante, I do, because when I after getting to a peaceful state, I switch to Vipassana.
Yeah.
And then I watch this Thirima Nathirima.
Yeah.
Devaya, and then there are times when there is a lot of waves of happiness come when I'm observing this. So I think that I'm doing the correct thing, Bhante.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even that, say for example, arising and passing away, when you are seeing it, there could be sort of happiness arise. So there's a very beautiful, very beautiful verse available in Dhammapada. Buddha says, Amanusi rati hoti pasato udayabhyam. Kind of a unworldly happiness is possible when one is observing arising and passing away. So at the beginning, it appears like very dry and sort of it's everything is impermanent, everything is bursting, destructing, all these things. But when you understand it is just a process, there is no person here, it's a sort of a cause and effect relationship. Likewise, when you are sort of maturing yourself, when you are sort of improving your wisdom aspect, then understanding it gives you a lot of happiness.
Yes, Bhante, and also I don't know whether I am inferring correctly, but even when these waves of happiness come, you know, as if you can feel the the particles, like, you know, so
right.
that
yeah.
it is like it is not just dry or it is not just plain. I can feel it, like in the feet and the legs and all, like little particles. So
exactly,
that is what we are trying to understand about it.
That's right.
The trying to break it up into smaller and smaller particles, or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. So that basically, even those waves, you are observing as someone else's things. You are not attaching to them, but you understand how they come and go. How
yes.
yeah. So that means
they
that
come and go, and they come in waves, Bhante.
Yes. So I mean, many different ways are possible, and for you, it may appear like a wave, and there's an appearance of wave, and then disappearance, again appearance, again disappearance. So you more and more you look at it like that, so you are in the Vipassana track actually.
Because it is also a happiness for me. I don't
yes,
know
yes, yes.
But that is okay.
Definitely, definitely. That's what I am telling. Now, all these activities, when we are properly looking at them, it produces some kind of an happiness. But for another person, now for a typical person, say they are expecting to maintain this happiness, to have this happiness, to own this happiness, to have this for a long time. But here we are looking at it in a different angle. We understand how impermanent they are, how they are coming and going. And by looking at it, we become happy.
Yes.
So it's a different way of looking at. Yeah.
I never, earlier I used to, many years ago, but I used to want to attach, but not anymore, but now I'm very, very detached, and I'm just watching this, but of course I certainly enjoy the happiness also. I can't say I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
I do enjoy, but I do, but when it goes, it goes.
That's yes,
it.
That's right, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. Right, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Thank you. So the next question, I'd like to invite Joseph Siddiqui to please ask your question directly.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
In my daily activities, so for example, today I was doing my work. Because the work, I'm used to it and I know what I'm doing, I can kind of do it on autopilot. And then I find myself... I'm just sort of observing the thoughts that are coming and going through my mind because I, you know, I focus on the work that I have to do. But as the work is kind of being done automatically, the mind wanders off. For example, I found myself, you know, telling stories, getting involved with, you know, stories I created about family. You know, who did this, who did that, and replaying the same story again. But I would kind of catch myself and realize that this was coming from ill will, a kind of hatred, a kind of like a negative, it was a negative thing. And when I realized that, when I kind of labeled it and I noted it as an ill will, I found that then my mind was clear and it ended. And I had a sort of a peace and I went back to my work. I concentrated on my work. And, you know, a little while later, I found myself thinking again, maybe of something else. And I would get wrapped up in it, thinking about it. And then I would catch myself thinking and say, oh, this was coming from a kind of a desire, like I want something. It's a kind of a greed. And when I could realize that or noted it or labeled it as greed, I was kind of free from it. It kind of ended, like the thought pattern or the momentum of the thought pattern, the story kind of, I just dissipated. And I found a sort of relief, a kind of a space in my mind, and that I was able to just go back to concentrating on my work. The whole time, my body was just doing the work. There was no break in the work itself, but I found I was sort of going through this mental process and, you know, wandering into thoughts, catching the thinking, labeling it as coming from, you know, greed or ill will or desire, and then that labeling would kind of dissipate the thoughts, and there would be a sort of a peace, and then it would go back to my work. And so I just wanted to sort of ask if that, you know, do you have any suggestions? What would be your comments on that? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, actually, this is something necessary. Because even though we start with Kayanupassana, paying attention to various activities and whatever we already have discussed, slowly our mindfulness will expand to the mind. So there we start to look at the mind as well. So while we engage with various activities, in the first instance, we are trying to be mindful about it. So rather than allowing the mind to distract and go for various other fantasizing, the mind is well engaged with the present activity. So that is the first step. That is what we discussed today. But later, as we improve, so automatically we start to look at the mind as well. So this is what has happened to you. Where now the activities are also happening. At the same time, we have a separate thread running, watching the mind. So am I doing it properly? Am I maintaining the pleasant mind? Or am I getting angry? While this discussion, am I getting distracted, or am I getting frustrated, or am I getting angry? Or likewise, so you have a separate monitoring process happening where you are observing the mind. So this is where actually most important. I mean, it is not that we are sort of neglecting the activity. We are doing the activity as well. But at the same time, we recognize the mind also. So there, if we understand that there's a defilement arising in the mind, immediately we can correct it. Immediately we can understand, okay, there's a greed arising. There's a sort of a resentment arising. And as you have mentioned, so there's a kind of a resistance arising in the mind. When someone, say, not obeying you or not respecting you, there's a kind of resistance arising within ourselves. So that we honestly understand, okay, there's a resistance. There's a kind of a resentment. So once we understand that, then slowly we can leave it aside. Slowly we can let it go. So likewise, it is quite important to recognize all these shortcomings, all these defilements. And Buddha very clearly mentioned, without knowing, without seeing these defilements, one can never purify oneself. So knowing and seeing these defilements is extremely important. And this is where actually we are spearheading. Even though we start with the body, slowly we are moving towards the mind, where we are more and more aware of the various mental states, aware of various defilements. And once we are aware of them, we are not getting caught up with them. We are not feeding them. Rather, we are able to step back and look at those defilements and allow them to pass away. We are not getting entangled with them. Rather, we understand they are coming and they too going. All these lustful thoughts, they come and they go. These resistance that arise and then that too fade away. Sort of an anger that also arise and then it will go away. So likewise, so this mental process or the observing of mind also is a part of the practice and you are doing well.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. So the next question, I'd like to invite Mahisha to please ask your question directly.
Thank you. My question is actually related to the advice that I have received from Bhante previously. And then I observed what you said. And then I like to give a feedback on what I, you know, experienced thereafter. So I'll tell a little bit about what I got the advice before, so that continues, then that's easy to understand what's happening. So my previous situation was when I go to meditate in the sitting posture, so quickly I start with the Anapanasati, and then quickly get on to that sleeping kind of a mode, like where I feel like emptiness and then darkness, and I feel that I'm not getting any thoughts to my mind. And so that was happening for a long time, and then it breaks up time to time, and then I come back, and then I feel like, oh, I need to get back to my vipassana again. So I start, and then again I go back to that darkness spot where nothing is there, and keep on going backward and forward. I do the whole time, and then I feel like that's it. That's the end of the session. So it's almost like I practice 1 hour, 60 minutes. So 60 minutes comes up and the alarm goes. So that's the situation. So that's the situation I explained before and asked for advice. And Bhante told me to keep going. And also then with the Dhamma talks last few weeks, I heard that we need to let little bit that samadhi position to, you know, loosen it a little bit to get the thoughts in. So, and then test how you feel about it, or things like that. So I actually tried doing that in the past few days. So when I get into that emptiness, I just stay like that, and I just keep watching. And then now what's happening is thoughts comes, you know, they comes, and like doing peekaboo, you know, it comes, appear, and then, you know, I'm showing it up, and then goes away.
Right.
So it keeps doing that for the whole time.
Yeah.
So that rather staying a lot of time in the darkness, it emptiness. Now I'm getting back quite often. I can't actually know how much time I spend in the darkness, and then those little thoughts comes and, you know, do appear and then disappear. So when those thoughts comes, I see them, I notice them, and then I realize, oh my God. Some of them I feel like they are from very, very big, I mean, long time ago once.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah.
And some thoughts are actually happened like a while ago. Things like that. Oh, yesterday actually I got a couple of thoughts that during Dhamma talk, what I heard as the instructions, like some of the Dhamma came to my mind, and then I felt like laughing, feeling that, oh, I'm getting those as well now.
Yeah.
And then it's disappeared.
Yes.
So my question is here, that's the situation previously and then now. So my question is it am I on the right path? And what shall I do next?
Yeah, actually, you are in the right path, because this is how we need to allow mind to operate, and we can laugh at ourselves. We can smile at ourselves, because this is how we are recognizing how mind is operating, what are the tendencies our mind is having, what kind of traits we are having. So more and more we recognize them, then we can avoid feeding them. We are not strengthening them. Rather, we allow them to pop up. We allow them to arise. And then, since we are observing without sort of being caught to them, then simply they will fade away. So once you are engaged with this sort of a practice for some time, then the strength of these thoughts become less and less. So they become really weak. And you can even recognize them at their very early stages. So they may not draw to higher levels as before. Rather, they may end up in the very early stages. Then more and more your mind become calm, peace and quiet. So that will soon happen. So that kind of clarity of mind, that kind of a peaceful mind is fairly lasting and fairly mature. Rather than you are having a kind of a peaceful mind just using the concentration. So that concentrated peace is fairly limited. And once the concentration loosens, immediately you may again end up with so much of distractions. But here, you are maintaining some amount of concentration just in order to see these thoughts clearly. And you are seeing how they come and go, how they behave, and you are not feeding them. And then slowly they will become weaker and weaker, and ultimately you are having a more peaceful mind, more clear mind. So it may take time. It's a matter of engage with the practice for some time.
Yeah, thank you, Bhante. And can I ask another little question about my walking meditation? Is it okay?
Yes, yes.
Now, actually, I was doing less walking meditation before, but I started doing now. under the guidance of Loku Swamin Wahanse and Bante. So now today I realize when I'm doing it, I choose the grass lawn for that. So it's having like thorny feelings and all those things anyway.
Yeah.
And I did it for some time, and then I feel like I need to close my eyes. So I try to, because the path is so familiar to me. So when I keep closing my eyes, I feel really it's much better. And I feel like I'm getting like kind of vipassana towards vipassana as well.
Yes.
Like I get also sensations then on the feet and the bit below the knee part of the legs. And I just thought asking whether it's okay to do like that or just as per the instructions, Vicky, the site level 2 meters away from the feet.
Yeah,
Thank you, Mante.
Actually, you can do that. And on the other hand, you can do the same thing as you do in sitting. Because it seems like while sitting, you are now, at the first instance, you may be improving the, say, mindfulness and concentration to the necessary amount. And then you are loosening that concentration and allowing the mind to play and watching it. So if you can do the same thing in walking, so that is also another way of doing. That in the sense, you are not now paying attention to the various sensations on your foot. Rather, you allow the mind to play and watching it. So that is also possible.
Okay, thank you very much, Bhante.
You can try both. Because ultimately, the whole process, whole life become very much like observing the mind and sometimes refining the, say, mindfulness and concentration. And mostly, it's watching the mind and correcting ourselves.
And also, now, while I was listening to the previous gentleman who raised the question and then the answer that Bhante was giving, I actually can put myself to autopilot mode with and feel the sensations and then switch again and listen to the talk and switch back again and back and forward like that. So it's like, I feel like, oh my God, I think I'm like playing around with this technique.
Yeah.
So, is it okay?
The thing is,
laughing at me, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah, the thing is, actually, we have to honestly look at the mind and we can clearly see how these various thoughts are coming and going. And if that is possible, actually, no problem. And actually, the autopilot mode in the sense that typically, say, in the previous time or before we start our practice, say, the autopilot mode is that, say, while walking, I am thinking something, what I'm going to do after going to the office. Say, how I am dealing with my boss or whatever it is. Now, that is where we go to the autopilot mode. We lost the present moment awareness. And we are in a different world. So that is in a way wrong, or we are being very unmindful. But rather here, we may be talking with someone, we have some amount of understanding and the awareness of that process, but at the same time, we have a little awareness of the mind as well. We are observing the mind as well, how our mind is reacting while this process.
Thank you, Mante.
Yeah. Okay.
For the next question, shouldn't there be a fair amount of nekhama, spelled N-E-K-K-H-A-M-M-A, for mindfulness to be effective? Without nekhama, also we can maintain mindfulness. But maybe we are so dependent on company security from the familiar settings. How can we or should we get away from familiar grounds?
Nekkamma. So shouldn't there be a fair amount of nekkamma for mindfulness to be effective? Actually, nekkamma may arouse as you continue your practice. Because you may start with mindfulness, suppose someone has given a lecture, someone has preached Dhamma, or you might have learned it from a course or whatever it is, and now suppose you are slowly practicing it. So as you practice, so those other qualities may have a better chance of, a fair chance of arising. So if you have an attitude of nekkhamma, that is good. But I mean, in order to start the practice, that is not a must. I mean, you can start the practice, you can start developing mindfulness, and as you are improving, various other qualities start to appear, start to help. So that is what actually well explained in the Sati Sampajanya Sutta. Maybe I will take that after this session, or rather, I mean, after this sutta, we can discuss Sati Sampajanya Sutta as well, where Buddha says, one is starting with mindfulness and clear comprehension, and as one is improving, then the various other qualities come in our way, or other qualities start to help in the process. They start to appear. So therefore, I mean, if one is already having sort of attitude of nekkhamma, that is also good. But on the other hand, you can immediately start practicing mindfulness, and later the other qualities are also have the possibility of arising. So both are possible. Both are possible.
Thank you, Sensei. And the next question, I'd like to invite Somali to please unmute your microphone.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante. I have a question about the daily practice that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And you mentioned getting up from the bed, and then that action is done, and then walking, and then that action is done, and then washing your face, kind of a thing. And I'm just wondering, I've been trying to do that, but there are so many stimuli that come at you at the same time. For instance, when you're walking to the bathroom in the morning, you get the feeling of the coldness of the floor, you feel the water, you feel the brushing of the teeth and the brightness of the light, and all of those things. And I'm just wondering whether you should note all of those things, or just think of the feeling of the brush on your teeth, or if you can explain that a little bit, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, you may understand now there are so many things to note, and if you are sort of start to label them and start to verbalize them, it is difficult because so many things are there to verbalize, and it is tiresome. But rather you can maintain a very quiet mind, silent mind, while feeling all these things. Say you are lifting your leg and you are moving, you can feel the texture of the floor, and you are opening the door. And all these are happening in a very silent mood with complete mindfulness. Under the sort of light of mindfulness, you are doing all these things. Complete awareness is there. So you are utterly in the present moment. And now thing is, now the same thing happened in our formal practice, where you are, say, be mindful of breathing. But there you have sort of higher concentration in order to penetrate breathing. Now you are going beyond breathing, and you now can understand various characteristics of the breathing. Say whether it is cool, whether it is cold, sorry, whether it is warm, whether it is long, whether it is short. So likewise, you have the facility to further drill down, further facility to further refine this recognition. But in the daily activities, we don't have that much of facility, because one after the other, we have to go through various activities. So to maintain some amount of clarity is enough, because I mean, we can't immediately meditate at that level, because we have to go to the other activity. One activity has finished and we have to go to the other activity. But at least we can maintain a very peaceful mind, quiet mind, and we are utterly in the present moment and fully know what is happening. We haven't lost the present moment, but rather we mindfully and equanimously we are observing. We haven't lost the balanced as well. Now, if you become so impatient, if you become sort of frustrated, then that indicates that we have lost the balance. But on the other hand, if we are able to very quietly and at the same time in a very maintaining while a very pleasant mind, at the same time we are mindful of the present moment, present activity, then that much of that kind of a balance would be much better.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Hey, Bhante, I believe this is the last question. So, dear Bhante, during a at-home retreat, after my sitting, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I turned off the lights, and I can continue to see flashing dots just going on and off. Bhante, is this still practicing the Kaya Nupassana? Please help me understand. Thank you.
Yeah, actually, we can't immediately say whether this is Kaya Nupassana or Vedana Nupassana or Chitta Nupassana. Basically, I mean, as we improve, and as you understand using the body, that how impermanent, how transient it is, and you may understand it is constantly this coming up and going away, rising and passing away. And when you are applying it to the same thing outside, so the outside physical phenomena also you may understand it's also rising and passing away. It's kind of bursting. So we can say it is also physical. And therefore, we can say it is Kaya Nupassana. But it is important that the label is not the important thing, but to the understanding that now not only the internal phenomena, but even the outside phenomena, now you can understand how transient they are. So if you have this understanding, it is well and good.
So continuing on the question, Bhante, so when we notice this, do we just continue to watch this, arising and passing away?
Yes. So just maintain a very balanced mind. So, and allow that wisdom to arise. So you have a very quiet mind, peaceful mind. At the same time, that picture, the outside, physical phenomena are teaching you. And allow them to teach you. Allow them to teach how transient they are. So they are constantly showing you this transient nature. And while maintaining a neutral attitude, we are observing it. So actually, while we do it more and more time, kind of a deeper understanding is being planted within ourselves. It is not that we are trying to learn from a book or ask from someone, but we directly experiencing it now. It is not that you have sort of someone's borrowed knowledge, but rather you are now directly experience this impermanence. So this is so powerful, and we need to allow it to further mature in ourselves, further grow in ourselves.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
Sadhu. That is all of the questions for today.
Yeah, sure. So thank you very much.
Sorry, Bhante, can I just quickly ask something?
Uh-huh.
It is one of the ways somebody mentioned Nekamma, and my understanding is giving up, clinging and craving and karma and so forth. Is that a correct concept?
No, actually, there's a broader meaning to Nekamma, like say you are renunciating your lay life and becoming a monk and all these things as well. But on the other hand, as you mentioned, there's a level of Nekamma where, say, as your insight knowledge is growing, say your mind simply giving up the already available attachments, the graspings, and mind becomes free. So both aspects are there. So therefore, I mean, that's why I mentioned when you are engaged with the practice, so the sort of a Nekamma attitude is growing in oneself. And in Vipassana also, it is available. And it is not that always that one has to completely leave the lay life and become a monk to practice. Rather, you can practice while being lay people. At the same time, the necessary qualities may slowly grow in your mind. So that's what I wanted to tell.
Yes, that's fine. Thank you. That's what I understood. Because yeah, we all can't become monastic, so we have to do it at our level. Bhante?
Yes, yes.
Yes, thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah.
Okay, I see one more hand raised. Do we have time for one more?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Dipti, can you unmute yourself?
Avsarai Bhante, I also said, just now, like, you know, I heard about your talk about Nekhama and all that, and for example, when I went to my sister's place yesterday with my children, and then they were sort of, you know, talking not very important things, unnecessary talks. And I felt it was very uncomfortable. And I wasn't like that before. I always, like, you know, very talkative, and I enjoyed those conversations. But I felt I was quite uncomfortable, and I couldn't stand all that. I don't know what's happening to me. Is it okay? No, is it normal?
Yeah, it's normal. Yeah, it is normal, because now our mind has shifted from that mundane enjoyment, and now mind is searching for something important or something profound. So that will happen in our own life, where typically we start with, say, having company with so many people, have so many friends, and etc. And while you are dealing with improving your mindfulness, slowly you may recognize some deeper happiness by being alone.
That's right. Yeah. I could be myself even when everyone was around me. I mean, I was just like that island. But even being in that island, I felt uncomfortable.
So there seems to be a sort of a resistance, because you want to be completely secluded, since the others are not allowing that.
I knew I shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I couldn't entertain. I mean, I was not part of it.
Yes. But these things will settle. I mean, at the beginning, this kind of unbalance can happen in the mind, but slowly you may sort of include that as well. Say you can maintain kind of a balanced attitude even in a difficult situation, because I mean, it is not always possible for us to be secluded and be alone, but sometimes we have to deal with others, have to move with others, and even to move with difficult people. And while doing that also, if you can observe your mind, so that is where we are learning from that.
Yeah, and the other thing about that, I always, now, I mean, not before, I get into trouble by trying to point out, you know, the silly things other people do, especially in my household. I can see sometimes when my children do things, oh, this is not right. So I just try to point out, and they get annoyed.
Yeah, so this is actually, now there are, I mean, as we become more, I mean, aware of our mind, and we become more conscious, so the faults of ourselves as well as the others' faults are become evident. So then, I mean, we have to maintain in this situation sort of a forgiving attitude, because we had all these difficulties, or we had all these defilements, but we never noticed them. But now we notice them. So as a result, I get angry about myself. How many defilements I still have? How many shortcomings I have? So you can be angry to yourself. And on the other hand, you can be angry to others, because they also have so many shortcomings. Now the problem is, now the shortcomings are evident to you. Now previously those were there, but you neglected them. You are not aware of them. But now, because of the improved sensitivity of the mind, so you are being aware of so many, even minor shortcomings, and they appear like very big ones.
yes, one did. That's the point.
Yeah, so basically maintain kind of a forgiving attitude, because, I mean, this is where we were. And now, the other people are also still in the same place. And we were also in the same place some time back. But now, because of...
I was doing the same thing. I was like that before. But now I can see, okay, so this is not right.
Yeah, that's right. So, we are correcting ourselves. At the same time, we have an attitude of forgiving in ourselves. So, we have to sympathize on the others.
Okay, thank you very much. But then I do understand.
Teruvan Sannai. It's okay.
Teruvan Sannai.
Okay, I think now we have spent around 1.5 hours in this session. So thank you very much for active participation, and we'll share the merits. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha cha bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha cha bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha cha bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā huntu ñātayo. Imina puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo satam samāgamo hotu yāva nibbāna pattiyā. Imina puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.